Bible says in Hebrews 5, verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have the senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now what I'm fixing to get into is strong meat. There's simplicity in the salvation of Christ. Grace through faith plus nothing. That's simple. But eternal security, that's a whole other thing. This is a heavy doctrine. And so as I told Pat, I had a whole lot of groundwork to lay out before I started answering his verses. Now, I will answer some of his verses here in my first point, but I've got a lot of groundwork. Now, one of the things that I want to go ahead and get out of the way is the question that Pat had asked me in email correspondence, and I'm pretty sure this is about word for word, is he asked, did I believe in a general salvation or a limited salvation? That being, did Christ die for everybody or only for the elect? Now, what I answered him was that I believed in Arminianism to the cross and Calvinism after the cross. Now, what that means is just this. You've got 100% free will until you get born again. But after you get born again, you are placed into the body of Christ, and the Bible says that He is going to conform you to the image of His Son, and that you have no choice in the matter whatsoever once you get born again. So I am not Calvinist as he believes that I am Calvinist. Calvinist teaching is heresy. God did not die for the elect. God died for everybody. Now, I hope everybody can see. I'll stand over here trying to get out of everybody's way. Can a Christian fall from grace? The first thing that we're going to have to do to determine whether a Christian can lose his salvation, we're talking about a born-again Christian, is we're going to have to get rid of some traditions. Mark 7:13, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, many such like things do ye. As growing up, I was Southern Baptist, and I was taught a lot of traditions. One of those traditions was at Christmas time, we'd have a nativity scene there at church. And they'd have three wise men come in, and they would go to bathe in the manger, Jesus. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Tradition says three wise men found Jesus, but the Bible doesn't. Tradition says the wise men found Jesus in a stable, but the Bible doesn't. Tradition says the wise men found Jesus as a babe in the manger, but the Bible doesn't. Matthew 2 says, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. It doesn't say how many. Now, as I go through this, I will probably just hit the underlined sections. I will probably not give the entire verse because my time is limited and I got a lot to cover. Matthew 2:11, and when they were coming to the house, wise men didn't find him in the stable and manger. Matthew 2:16, Herod slew all the children from 2 years old and under according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Jesus Christ was already almost 2 years old at this time. Another tradition that the Church of Christ and the Baptists share together is that Satan was a fallen angel. The Bible doesn't say that. 2 Corinthians 11, it says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. It doesn't say that he is an angel of light. Ezekiel 28 says that Satan is the anointed cherub that covers. That's right there. Now, Revelations 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, most Baptists that I know use that for soul winning. That ain't got a thing to do with lost sinners. That's talking to the church of Laodicea. Jesus Christ is standing outside the door of the church knocking. So that's just another tradition we pick up. Traditionally, most Baptists teach all the verses that show a Christian is saved, sealed, and born again. And they explain away all the verses that say a Christian has to endure to the end. While the Church of Christ, predominantly, they take all the verses that teach someone has to endure to the end. And they throw out all the verses that say that a Christian is saved, sealed, and born again. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, not tradition. No, every false teaching comes from a truth twisted. That's tongues, observing the times, Arminianism, Calvinism, Catholicism, faith healers. All of that
that stuff is truth to a sin. Every one of those people had some truth, but what they did was they twisted it somewhere and made it into something it wasn't, or they applied it to somebody and didn't apply to it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have got to rightly divide the word of truth. If you do not do that, you will never understand the doctrine of once saved, always saved, or eternal security. There's verses that you can't explain if you don't rightly divide the Scripture. That's the commandment the Bible gives you, to divide, not to harmonize. You can't harmonize what's written to the Jews over in the Old Testament with what's written to the church in the New Testament. James 2:20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That contradicts what's in Romans 4:4-5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. James 2:24, that by works a man is justified, not by faith. That contradicts Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace ye are saved through faith, not of works. One of them says works, one of them says not of works. That is a direct contradiction. James 2:24, then by works a man is justified and not by faith. That contradicts Romans 11:6. If by grace, then it is no more of works. If it be of works, it is no more grace. Ephesians 6:4-6. It is impossible for those enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, if they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance. That right there teaches that somebody can fall away and lose their salvation, and they can't get it back again if they do lose it. That contradicts Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That pretty much covers everything. He said nothing above you, nothing beneath you, nothing present with you. If you go on living, you ain't going to lose it. If you die, you ain't going to lose it. He said you can't lose it, and nothing can take you out of it. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That contradicts 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul knew he wasn't keeping his own salvation because he'd lose it. That's why he gave it to Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15, again, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to make these divisions, and I want to make that evidently plain to you. Get that on your mind. You have got to rightly divide these Scriptures. There's divisions in the Bible. Everybody holds to them. At least most of them. The first one here is Old Testament versus New Testament. All of you folks make that division. If you didn't, you'd sacrifice animals. Number 19, before the law versus under the law. They didn't get the law until Exodus 20, so what did they do until they got the law in Exodus 20? Number 20, under the law versus under grace. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Under grace versus the tribulation. 1 Corinthians 1:7-8 says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. But Hebrews 3:6 says that we hold fast firm to the end. Those contradict. Something different's going on in the book of Corinthians than in Hebrews. Because here you have Jesus Christ holding us firm to the end. And in Hebrews, they got to hold themselves firm to the end. Can a Christian fall from grace? The definition of grace is appropriately the free, unmerited love and favor of God. You didn't do anything to get it, so how could you lose it? Romans 5:18-20, down here the underline. By the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. It's a free gift. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So where I sinned, God's grace abounded more than my sin. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The very idea that a man could lose grace by sin when grace was given while he was a sinner is ridiculous, to say the least. That's when you got his grace, was when you were a sinner. Thus, God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners. That's when his grace applies. Jesus Christ said, I came not to call the righteous unto repentance, but sinners. Galatians 5:4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Who's fallen from grace here? Those that are justified by the law. I'm not justified by the law, but grace. Look at Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace. That's how I'm justified. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You can't be justified by the law. No. Paul was writing to saved and lost people in Galatians. Just like we preach to saved and lost in our churches. Every Sunday morning, your preacher preaches to the lost and the saved. He don't believe that everybody in the congregation is saved. Just like I don't believe everybody's in the congregation saved when I preach. Proof text for that. Galatians 1:6 and 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. There were people there that was teaching justification by works, and Paul said it's justified by grace. Galatians 3:1-3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Somebody loved them. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? That's why Paul was straightening them out on it. They had lost and saved people there. And there's nothing you're going to do in the flesh, works, to make perfect what God's done in the Spirit. Galatians 4:20. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Paul was doubting these folks because some of them were trying to live by works that started out in grace that they had gotten from some people that come in teaching false doctrine. No, Paul clearly shows that somebody came in teaching works instead of grace. Galatians 1:8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let it be accursed. The gospel's in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. 1 Corinthians 8:11. And through thy knowledge shall a weak brother perish. This is another verse that Mr. Donahue uses. The definition of perish, to die, to lose life in any manner, to waste away, to be destroyed. That's physical death. That's not going to hell. You can see that from Corinthians 4:16. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Physical flesh is going to die. It's going to waste away. And you will die. And God will chastise your physical body if you sin as a Christian. That's how God deals with His children. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others I myself should be a castaway. Now the definition of castaway is rejected, useless, of no value, that which is thrown away, a person abandoned by God is unworthy of His favor, and reprobate on the end. Now when I looked this up, there were 6 definitions of the word castaway. What Mr. Donahue did was he read the verse right and he said castaway, but then he immediately changed it to reprobate and continued with reprobate and made you think that that was the word actually used in the text. But God didn't say that. God said castaway. Now there's 6 definitions and He uses the last one. Now this rejected and useless, that matches the text. And abandoned by God as unworthy of His favor, that matches the text, not reprobate. Let's look at the context. 1 Corinthians 9:19-13. Look at the underline. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul was worried about losing his testimony of these people and being worthless as a preacher of the gospel. That would be like me being about 100 pounds overweight and preaching to you about gluttony. You wouldn't listen to me for 5 seconds. And God would put me on the shelf. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's another verse that Mr. Donahue uses. The context, 1 Corinthians 10:6. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He's talking about falling into sin and not falling from salvation. Every example in this chapter, before verse 12, was given as someone dying physically who didn't have the new birth. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets, even denying the Lord that bought them. I will make comment on that.
I wrote it down, and you need to take note of this. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave himself a ransom for all.
God died, Jesus Christ died for everybody. He didn't just die for those that were saved. They denied the Lord that bought him, but they didn't accept his blood atonement. 2 Peter 2:22, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the latter in it is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment. The dog is turned to his vomiting again, the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. No born-again Christian is ever referred to as a hog or a dog, only lost people. These people are said to deny the Lord that bought them. And 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. 2 Peter 2:17, these are wells without water. John 4:14, Jesus Christ said him, but the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, these are false teachers and they're lost. They didn't have the water that he gave them. They were empty. That's what the Bible says. You can compare that with Matthew 12:43-45, another unsaved person. When the unclean spirit is gone out, he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. When he has come, he findeth it swept, empty, garnished, and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. No, both are clean and decorated, but empty. A Christian is not empty, but has the Holy Ghost living in him. That's John 7:38. Question, if a born-again Christian can lose his salvation, why does the Bible say, 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. That verse right there says that somebody that's born of God cannot sin.
Well, you can't explain that without the new birth. And you can't explain that comparing Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 6 to this. Because obviously somebody there had been here to the end. Now, Mr. Donahue mentioned the crowns. And the crowns that he mentioned is easily explained. That word crown doesn't say heaven. He applied that word heaven and told you that it meant heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that there's seven crowns that a Christian, or not a Christian, but there's seven crowns that can be achieved. Some by born-again folks, and some by not born-again folks. There's a crown of life given to martyrs. I don't have to be a martyr to achieve that crown. There's seven crowns in the Bible, and not a one of them says that that is heaven. Now, if you apply words to the text that are not there and make them mean something that they don't mean, you can teach anything. What you've got to do as a Christian, as a faithful steward of the Word of God, is you have to rightly divide the Scripture. And where the Scripture speaks, you have to look at the context and see who is talking to.
Two minutes.
All right. Thank you.